and welcome to the Sophia Talk Show. This is a podcast all about books, movies, anything fantasy related or fiction books related. I am Sophia Simpson. I will be your host and I will be bringing on lots of guests, including authors and readers and non-readers alike. And every once in a while, I'll bring in a serious topic or two. And I hope you enjoy this show as much as I've enjoyed recording it. Oh, and by the way, I'm a young adult Christian fantasy author, which explains the book talk. And on that note, I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. M.B. Mooney, Shield of the King author, among other books. Welcome to Sophia Talks podcast. I'm so happy to have you on my show. Thank you for coming.
No problem. Okay. We've been talking about this for a bit, and I'm glad to get on here, you know, because we hardly ever talk, right? We hardly ever, you know, see each other or talk. No. So, no, you're an awesome writer, and I'm proud of you for your book coming out, and happy to be on here.
Thank you. Well, I'm super excited about my book. I am super excited about your book, because I did get to read it. I somehow got an early copy. Copy before your book even launched somehow. So I was like, I consider myself lucky.
That was crazy Amazon. So Amazon is in this place where, like, you can't really, you can tell them when you want the book to launch, but it doesn't really work that way. I mean, it doesn't, it'll be available a week before, you know, it is just so they don't. But yeah, so yeah, people were getting it the week before I officially launched, but that was kind of cool actually, because then you could share those posts and hopefully people, you know, when they were excited about it. So congrats for reading it all the way through.
Are you kidding? This is, here's, you have it up on the screen, but here's my copy. It's a beautiful cover. I couldn't wait to get to that scene where there's this huge, humongous elephant with some kind of gemstone in his chest. I'm like, what is that about? Like, I was really anticipating that scene. And you did not disappoint at all.
Good. I'm glad. that's one of the writing things, right? If you make promises, you have to keep them. You know, you got to be careful what promises you make, because you have to keep them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Did you have a say in the cover, like the cover design?
I did. So since it's a smaller publisher, he was way more interactive with me about the cover. He asked me for a couple ideas, and, you know, I was like, we could go the whole sort of image and logo sort of cover that's really popular right now, or we could go a little more modern / old school combination with like a painting, or, you know, I just different, you know, we went different ways and looked at artists, and he wanted to do more of a painting, more of a, like a graphic image. He wanted to do that. And I was like, I'm cool with that. So he asked me for, you know, suggestions of what it could be. And I was like, well, there's this one really epic moment in the book that really wouldn't be giving anything away, I don't think, but it would still be a very interesting, anyway, so yeah, I did have some input.
It was definitely grabbing. It was definitely grabbing. Like, you just, you're so curious, like, how did she get, what is that thing, and how did she get to fight him by herself? Well, it looks like she's by herself. I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. But anyway, well, again, congratulations on Shield of the King. It's absolutely fantastic. I have to know, though, what was your inspiration in writing that book, especially a female protagonist? Like, what made you decide to do that?
Yeah, so Elowen is a character, although she's much older, in The Fire Reborn. So the third of my trilogy. So my original trilogy was Living Stone, The Blaze of War, The Fire Reborn. And Elowen was a character that I brought in and I had in my mind and I developed her. But because I already had this huge cast of characters in my book, I didn't really have time to go into a lot of her background. Mm. And I'm sure you sort of, most writers get this, right? You know, you come up with a character as kind of a side character. There's, I mean, they have purpose, or they should be there. But then when you come up with this character, you start to fall in love with this character on all on your own. You're like, I don't know why, but I really, really love this character. And of course, you know, with doing that, your mind starts racing and you start coming up with the background and the history and where did she come from? And so at the same time, you know, my original trilogy, while YA friendly, you know, it's not so graphic, or definitely not, you know, like sexual stuff in there. So it's YA friendly, but it's written more for an adult audience. I wanted to get into YA a little bit. And so I was thinking, well, what if I told her origin story? What if I went back, since I love her so much? And I also wanted to do something a little different than, you know, while I have other cultures sort of represented in that original trilogy, it's still kind of that medieval sort of Western style fantasy. And I wanted to do a different culture, and I wanted to do first person. And so because she shows up in a later book, I'm like, well, I could do first person because, you know, if you look into it, everybody's going to know she survived. So I can do first person. And so there's just a lot of elements to it that her story really kind of came together, where I could explore some different themes and different cultures instead of that sort of Westernized mindset. And then, you know, and a different sort of female character. And I love strong female characters. I've been learning a lot more about why I love them. You know, in the sense of, you know, there's this thing today about guys not, I don't think it's true guys don't like strong female characters. I mean, I watched Aliens, you know, back in the day in the movie theater. I'm old enough to have loved to see her, but I think that a strong female protagonist is a different, I think a lot of times what happens today is that people try to just make a strong female protagonist, but really it's just, they're really just the same as a male character. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's almost like they're just the same. And I kind of wanted to look into that, like what makes a strong woman a strong woman character? Not just that she can beat everybody like, you know, like a guy can, you know, whatever, like some of those tropes. I wanted to sort of explore some of that in her character. And so I did, you know, so there's a lot more about family, a lot more about community. And while she's still kicks butt, you know, she still kicks butt, but there's a lot, there's a whole lot more, there's other themes in it besides just that she's really good.
Well, I love the conflict that you bring up throughout the book, that she's an elf daughter and she can't, you know, in her society, elf daughters are meant to breed and that's about it. Marry and breed, like, you know, and so she has to break those stereotypes, and that's always a fantastic trope. Like, like burst through those walls, break down those barriers and let's see what happens. And she does that with style, let me tell you. And I love that her character is so vulnerable too. I mean, she's not entirely sure of herself. And so many of us can relate to that. I mean, I know as an author myself, I'm just starting out. I mean, I wrote my first book in 2014, but I didn't do much with it. And so I really became full-time author 2 years ago. And it's not easy to start something like that. And it's, and I really related to Elowen because I'm kind of in that battle mode myself, you know, where I'm trying to put books out there that people don't know anything about. They don't know anything about me, and they're not sure if they should trust, you know, spending the $3.99 to sit down with my book. And so, I don't know. I just really related to Elowen, especially. And I loved that you tackled the female character. I just absolutely loved that. I mean, I'm sure guys will relate to her too, because I'm also reading A Living Stone, and but because it's not that female character, I just didn't like immediately relate to the main. But you have several characters going on in that, like at one time. You do have a female in there, you know, a widow, and, well, we think she's a widow. I haven't gotten to the point where she knows yet. But I mean, I immediately just connected with Elwyn. So you just did a fantastic job. You did a fantastic job.
And the whole cultural thing about the women not having certain rights or certain opportunities was, again, part of putting her in her world. Because I wanted it to be, a non-Western, so, you know, not like cowboys, but non-Western as in like European sort of mindset. I wanted it to be more of like a Persian Middle Eastern culture, which if you look at the traditional Middle Eastern cultures, there is that tension of women not having certain opportunities, and of course nowadays with the Muslim cultures, and so I gave her head coverings, I tried to do a lot of those sort of ideas to try to bring in some of those cultural elements while not putting them down, but just showing that, because even within those cultures there are strong women and strong women characters, and definitely, you know, the Jewish culture is a Middle Eastern culture, and they have very strong women in the Bible and some in their traditions. So, you know, so I just tried to play with some of that and make it realistic while also, like you said, giving her something to overcome, right? Giving her something to kind of break through and overcome. I enjoyed it. I'm just happy other people like it. You know how it is when you're an author. You're like, well, I think this is cool.
I know.
But then it's nice when you hear, you know, people besides my mom who think it's cool, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you've got a fan in me for life, I'm telling you. And I have to know, is there a book two coming out? Are you writing? Are you planning, plotting?
I'm planning. There's definitely a book two. I'm more in the brainstorming. I have a basic outline. I need to get the heart of the story. I know the outline, and for me nowadays when I'm writing, before I just kind of sit down and write, I need to know the heart of it. Like, the heart of Elwyn is essentially, what does it mean to be a hero? Like, what does it really mean to be a hero? What does it really mean? And of course, and I'm bringing in all these other elements, but it's really, what does it mean to be a hero? And I just take her on that journey, which is why she's questioning herself. She thought she knew what a hero would be because she was listening to her dad and all those old stories. And she has these heroes of her own faith, but she's realizing the reality is different, right? When you actually get into the battles, when you get into having to, you know, how do you know who's right and wrong? How do you know? Like, when you live in the real world, everybody can seem wrong or everybody can seem right. And how do you kind of navigate some of that? And so that's why it's not an unsurety like she's weak, but it's unsurety like, you know, to me, that she's learning what this world is really about. And I think we can all relate to that. I think we can all relate to having this sort of idealized version of maybe politics at one point or something else where it's like, oh no, this is the right side. And then you start to see behind the curtain with some things and you're like, oh, what's this really about? And so for the book two, I'm really trying to get to the heart. I know where I'm taking her and I know the general character growth that she goes through, but I want to boil it down to something real. There's a couple elements that I want to earn, you know. I want to make sure are earned, and I think I did that well with Elwyn, and I want with the first book with Shield of the King, and then I want to do that with this one because she's going to be put into a whole different culture now, where it's different, you know, where she's going to be taken to a whole other country, and then a different sort of politics and tensions, and so just trying to. So she's going to have to navigate some things again, but I want to just, so for me, it's when I get that core, like, okay, that's what the story's really about, because then you just point every scene to that. You point every moment, every scene to that. And then even if the reader doesn't know it, they feel it, I think.
Yeah, so. I agree. Well, you did a good job with that in Shield of the King, just questioning what is actually right from what she's been taught her whole life, and then suddenly introducing things that make her question things, and the reader just completely follows along with those discoveries. And I'm just offering, if you need a beta reader for the next one, please think about me.
Well, you might see a chapter one in the next couple months show up in the Word Weavers group.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about Duilius, because you have introduced him as just somebody. I can't really get a grasp on his character. He's sly, and he's not exactly charismatic, but he is in a way. Like, you just love this guy. Like, he trumps everyone. Like, no one can beat him at sword fighting, and that's fun in its own right. But just his attitude is like, you know, she's like, we're going to get into some trouble. And he's like, good. I love that. He's funny. Like, you had a sense of humor in him that I really enjoyed. And I was like, I can't wait to see what you're going to do with her and Julius. And of course, as the romantic in me, I'm like, maybe there's a little romance that's going to happen. Maybe, you know, that's definitely something that.
Well, that's the other element that I want to make sure I have right, which is where you can probably help me with, is she is going to have some romance in the second book. I didn't put it in the first book because so much of her struggle was within her family. Yeah. So much of it was with her family and her family background. And I just thought, like, I almost put, like, I played with the idea of giving her more of a romantic sort of element with that servant guy.
Yeah, I kind of picked up on that.
And I was like, do I want to do that? You know, but I was like, I think that's going to be too much. I think that's over the, like, too much for what the story is really about. Like, that wouldn't be serving the story to me. Whereas in the second book, it does. And there's room for her to explore some of that now that some of the stuff with her family is somewhat settled.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to come back a little bit too. So there's still going to be some of that, some of her history, her father's history is going to be a little bit more explored in a different way. And, you know, just so that's another part of it that I want to make sure that I'm not just, because if I put romance in it, I want it to be realistic or, again, earned. Like, I'm a big believer in earning something as a writer. Like, I want the reader to think, oh, I totally get why she would fall for this guy. You know,
that's a good way to put it. I like,
you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, because I think, because I read a lot of YA, and the good YA that has the romance in it, they earn it. To me, like, but then a lot of times it's a little more cliche, right? Oh, they don't like each other, but they're going to get together. We all know. I mean, you know, just sort of one of those. And I think there's some complexity to that I haven't done since probably my first book. My first book was basically a romance. Like, my first book was a coming of age romance.
Wait, are you talking about Elizabeth?
Oh no, like, I'm talking about when I was like 21. I'm talking about like my first book that no one, like, my wife has read, and there's some, you know, good friends of mine who read it, but it, you know, it was more like that 90s sort of indie coming of age romance sort of stuff. I mean, you know, and anyway, so
well, that does lead me to my next question. So, how long have you been writing, and when did you start writing fantasy?
Okay. So I was writing, started in the second grade.
Wow.
And the legend goes that I was in the second grade and I was a very mischievous, energetic boy. And my teacher, Miss Green, sat me in the front of the class because she had to keep an eye on me. And we had a spelling test on Thursday. And if you got 100 on the spelling test on Thursday, you didn't have to do the retake on Friday.
Okay.
Well, I would get 100 on Thursday and then be sitting there with nothing to do while the rest of the class was taking the retake, you know, yeah. the second. So I would get in trouble. I would, you know, I'm bored and I'm a boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, girls do that too. It's not just that I'm a boy. I was just,
no,
you know.
Boys, yeah, no, you're right. Boys are.
Well, I mean, I do have a girl that's like that too. So, I mean, you know, I have a daughter who you don't want her to be bored, especially when she was that age. So here I was getting in trouble, and this teacher, she was fairly young at the time. She was probably in her late 20s. I mean, obviously, you know, I was a kid, like I didn't really get that, but she looked at me. And she looked at me on a Friday when everyone else starts taking the test, and she looked at me and she said, "Britt, why don't you write me a story?"
Aww.
And I thought that was the best idea I ever heard, because I read everything. I read all sorts of stories. I read all sorts of books. I had a very high reading level, a very young age, which is why I was getting 100 on the spelling test. And so, you know, I had a fourth or fifth grade reading level in the first grade. Like, I was very advanced. Wow. As a reader, and there was this light bulb moment that was like, wait, I can write the kind of stuff that I'm reading? Like, wait, I could be that person? And something in my brain went, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. That is who I want to be.
That's
and cool. So from that time on, I was writing stories. I was doing comic books. I was, you know, I draw my own comic books. I would, I would just do all sorts of things. I got more into songwriting when I was 16 or 17. And I put some of the like fiction writing stuff away. And then again, in the mid to late 90s, I started to get back into writing, so writing fiction. So I started writing some urban fantasy sort of stuff, supernatural, you know, modern urban fantasy sort of stuff. And then I got into the Living Stone fantasy around, like a lot of people did. When Lord of the Rings came out, I was like, you know, I've rediscovered my love of The Hobbit and Tolkien and a lot of that stuff. And I always loved fantasy, but, you know, I started having an idea for a story and everything like that, so.
Okay. Okay. So are you a full-time author, podcaster? I know you have a podcast, too.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, well, I have.
Well, you've got a few.
Yeah, I've got a couple, but I have got one is a ministry podcast. I've got a YouTube channel that's more for writing. So Great Stories Change the World, I do, which you're going to be on soon.
Cool.
And I don't know if we want to tell people what we're going to talk about. I think we're going to talk about a TV show instead of a movie you said you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then I have a couple other podcasts that I do. And so I am a full-time writer, but some of my writing is like content writing for articles and blogs for different companies. So I get paid to write content. I'm not a full-time author in the sense of I'm making a full-time living on my books. Like, that's not happening right now. So, but I am a full-time writer in the sense of I am making most ends meet with some freelance writing. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you write like nonfiction, I'm assuming? Nonfiction articles?
Yeah, I write nonfiction articles and blogs. And then I write, you know, content for websites. I do some story consulting with marketing companies. I'm doing a little bit of that, which I really enjoy, how people can leverage the stories. I'm a big believer in story. And so I want to help nonprofits, small businesses in their marketing kind of leverage the stories of transformation that they already know and talk about, but they don't really put out there in a very effective way. And so I do some consulting with that. And yeah, I just, people pay me to talk about story and write stuff. And it's
pretty cool. How would someone find you? if they want to talk to you about something like that?
I'm the tall, goofy guy. I'm that. That's how, no. As far as my author, go to mbmooney.com. That's my website. Okay. And if you want to check out, again, my YouTube channel, it's on Great Stories Change the World is the YouTube channel, which is, cool. Again, you'll be a guest on there soon. And if you want, like, TikTok, I'm on TikTok as MB Mooney Author. I'm on Instagram as Author MB Mooney. I was not smart when I started to set up a lot of these, you know, social media. You're supposed to have all the same handles, and I messed up. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. So you can check me out on all those things.
So they can, if someone wants help, if they have a small business and they want help with your marketing, they can go to your website and contact
you. Yeah, they can go to my website. I think there's a way to contact me there, or they can just email me at authormbmooney@gmail.com. They can email me there. But yeah, absolutely. I get excited about talking about story with people, so it'll be good.
So tell me about your other projects. I know since we're on Word Weavers together, I know you're working on a Huckleberry Finn fantasy retelling. So Is that something that you have a publisher for, or are you?
I do not have one yet. Yeah, I don't have a publisher for that one yet. And that's the other thing I'm trying to get into is middle grades. So I have a couple middle grades novels that I'm trying to get into with publishers. And ultimately, I might self-publish something like that. So, because I do both, you know, I have traditional publishing and I do self-publishing. Mm-hmm. In the publishing world, it's very competitive right now. And the publishing world is still trying to figure out the publishing world. They're just trying to figure out what to do without bookstores. Although Barnes & Noble is supposed to be coming back here and there. Right now I have Shield of the King and I mean, I'll do book two I'll be starting that really soon. And I'm going to be kind of looking for some publishers with a couple middle grades novels. I've got a children's book coming out this year.
Wow. What's the name of that?
Called The Mouse Who Couldn't Eat Cheese. And
I love it.
We're just kind of waiting for the artist to be done with her part. And that was just a total left field thing. I never thought I'd write a children's book. And and I've got a free story on my YouTube channel. So I've started a new story on YouTube called The Henchman, which is something where I write a chapter every week or two and I just read it on the YouTube channel.
Oh, and that's on the Stories That Matter?
Yeah, Great Stories Change the World.
Great Stories Change the World.
Yeah, that's on there. And because I wanted to kind of get back to that. I was doing that with a different podcast a couple of years ago, and I wanted to get back to that. And I've got a novella coming out this year. So Caleb, who you know a little bit about if you've read, I've been doing some novellas about his origin. And so book one is already out, Caleb book one called The Citadel. And then I've got The Way of the Fist is book two, and that'll be coming out this year as well. So,
I did not know about the first novella. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely be. That's one thing, like, because A Living Stone has so many characters. I mean, you are in the middle of a chapter and you switch point of views. So, like, I'm getting close to being halfway done, but, like, it's a little, you're trying to relate to all of them, you know, and you're trying to connect with all of them. And I feel like there's so much about Caleb that is a mystery. And I know that's probably your intention. So You did a good job of that. But, you know, there's just so many interesting characters in that book. So it's taken me a little longer to read that one just because I'm trying to like soak it all in. And and by the way, how did you learn how to write these fight scenes? I mean, you are so good at that. Like,
thank you.
Have you trained in fighting boxing?
You are not the first person to ask me that. I've trained a little bit. I mean, I did a couple of years of karate back when I was a kid, but mostly this is going to sound really cheesy. Mostly it is watching a lot of martial arts movies and reading some things. There's some Dungeons and Dragons, more action adventure books that are more pulp fiction sort of things that have a lot of action in them that I enjoy. So a lot of those things kind of mix together. But for me, the secret to a good fight scene is the fight has to be a story too. Like, the secret to a good fight scene is not that there's action, but that there's tension, and then there's reason, and there's motivation, and there's goals, and like all the stuff about a good story has to be in the fight scene. And I try to make it as personal as possible while I'm writing it. Like, you know, it's like, you haven't gotten to the battle scene at the end, but like in the battle scenes, I don't talk about like these 1,000 people go here and these 1,000 people go here. Like I talk about one person and their experience in the midst of it, and the grittiness and the chaos and the thing. I think that's why people enjoy it, and just kind of make a story out of those moments of that character. Like, why is this character doing this? And how are they winning or losing? Mostly they're losing
gotta have something for a reader to root for, you know, like, and think of Rocky. I mean, you always go for the underdog. You can't help it. You want them to do it. You want them to overcome all the odds
and just kill it. Yeah. Rocky's a great example. Like, if you watch Rocky and you're a writer, pay attention to the fights.
Yeah.
But there's drama within the fight. There's
yeah.
dialogue. There's back and forth. There's is he going to make it? Is he, you know, going to come back? You know, like, there's all those sort of elements to it.
Oh, and Apollo, like, you're going to get back up, really? Like,
all that.
It. It's all so good.
And if you really want to know how to write fight scenes, another great example is watch wrestling.
Really? Watch like WWE
good wrestling. I don't personally enjoy it, but if you, as a writer, if you watch wrestling, they are telling a story. Good wrestling tells a story.
Oh, yeah.
And it can have some cliches in it, just like anything else, but there's a reason why they've been doing it for 50 or 60 years and people are still paying big money to watch it, is because they get involved in character and motivation and all of that sort of stuff. And so, so again, you know, you can know the basic terms of they're going to, you know, stab and this and that. You can know the terms, but to me, what engages a reader is that element of making the fight scene a story in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember I brought to one of our Word Weaver meetings one of my fight scenes, and you gave me some really great advice because you felt like the story within the fight could be better. And it really got me thinking about that and making it more intentional, you know, to bring the story first, not the fight.
Yeah.
So that was great advice. Yeah, I have a lot to learn. I have a lot of fight scenes in my stories, elemental battles where they bring in the elements and everything. And that's been a lot of fun to explore. That's been a lot of fun. I definitely have room to grow because there's so much you can do. I mean, you kind of have to pick and choose what their abilities are and frame your world, you know, kind of and build it as you go. You can't just throw in a gift and say, here you go, we can do this now, you know, and you have to build it. They kind of have to prove that that's, you know, believable and all the things. I mean, and that's another thing, like, you do really well too. You make fantasy believable. And I absolutely love that when that happens, because I mean, that's my number one genre. I mean, I write it, but I read it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love when fantasy comes to life and it's like, that could actually happen. Like, you know, if you succeed at doing that as an author, as a fantasy author, I feel like you've done it. You've succeeded. You've accomplished exactly what you should. My last question is, Tell me, what's a book that you really want to write? It's just not the right time. Like, hasn't been the right time, but maybe something that's been on in the back of your mind, or maybe something that you would love to write and just haven't explored it yet. Is there a genre you haven't written yet? Because I know you write fantasy, but
all the genres.
Science fiction, maybe? Is that something in your wheelhouse?
I have two answers to that. First is, I've been getting into screenplay writing, and so I want to write a full movie screenplay. And I have a couple options of that, of what I want to write. So that's next. That's going to come this year, hopefully.
Is that fantasy? Is this a fantasy movie? Or
this first one I want to do is sci-fi horror. So it's like horror/sci-fi. Alien invasion meets kind of horror, sort of, you know.
Wow.
Urban fantasy meets alien invasion. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And kind of a mashup. It's really fun. I also want to get into lit RPG. It's becoming a very popular genre, and I've read several books in the genre. And I'm trying to think of the kind of story I want to write with it. So that's been something I'm mulling over in my brain. I'm way far away from actually doing it, in the sense of, but I think if I can get the idea down, and if I can make it my own, that's probably something I'll try to do this year as well, is writing. So the screenplay, Ellowyn book two, and maybe get started on a lit RPG. That'll happen this year.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me exactly what is a lit RPG. I don't even know.
That's a great question. So Ready Player One.
Okay.
Is probably the most popular lit RPG. And basically, it is telling a story as if you're going into a video game world.
Okay.
So your character, your main character is outside of the world.
Okay.
But then that character goes into some sort of video game world and has adventures there. But then obviously, like, just like in Ready Player One, there's also some story outside of the video game world that's interconnected, but there's all this stuff about video games that people love. I mean, like, there are YouTube channels that have millions of views just because they're watching someone else play a video game. So these are books that basically dive into that, where the main character goes into a video game world. There's some movies and there's some anime that does it. Sword Art Online is one of the more popular ones. Oh no, it's one that I've seen. So I'm just trying to get through, like, what I want to say. I don't want to do it just to do it. I want to make sure I have a good story, have a good character arc, and good characters, and an interesting sort of spin on it myself. I've also been thinking about a way to write a story. I don't know if I could do a whole book, but I'd like to do a story in second person.
Oh, okay.
I think that would be a challenge.
That is a challenge. Yeah. So, how would that read? Tell me how that would read, because I don't think I've ever read a book like that.
I've read a short story with it. So I don't know if it could sustain it through a whole book, maybe a novella, but it would be, you did this, then you did this, and then you did this, and then you went here, and then you, like, it's all, and I think it would be a real challenge to make it interesting and to tell a real story with a character arc within that. It's just something I'm playing with. You know, it's like you're saying, I still have things to learn. You know, like me doing a YA fantasy with romance in it, from the female point of view,
right.
I've never done that. So that's, yeah. so I try to, with every project I do, I try to challenge myself with something. Because like in The Living Stone that you're reading, I basically have two main points of view.
Mm-hmm.
I have two main stories. I've got the Eshelin story, and mm-hmm. I've got the Caleb story. And I've got those two sort of storylines that are coming together towards the end. I mean, you can tell they're going to meet up, right? I mean, that's where it's all going. So, but then in the second book, I wanted to have three. I wanted to have three main storylines.
Wow. That's a big job. That's a big job.
So, and make it work. And then I've had people recently tell me they think the second book's better. Like the second book's even better. And I'm like, oh, that makes me feel good because I'm like, I really challenged myself.
Yeah.
To make it readable and enjoyable and still not a page turner maybe, but kind of a page turner, but to make it more complicated, that makes it more complicated. Like three different storylines makes it anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah. So would you consider A Living Stone and the trilogy, an epic fantasy? That seems like it is to me.
Oh yeah. No, it's definitely classic epic fantasy with my own sort of spin on it. I mean, I think I've made it my own in a lot of ways. It's gritty and redemptive, and that's sort of my style. It's both gritty and violent and dark in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But then there's also a lot of redemption at the same time. So.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to continuing the story and talking to you about it later. That'd be fun. But if you, I'm just offering this. If you ever need a brainstorm about Eloin and her story, you can always chat me up and I can help you. I can help you with that because that would be a lot of fun. I definitely love it.
Definitely beta reading would be fun. Definitely beta reading because, you know, when I write it, I'll be like, I don't know if this, would a woman believe it? Would a woman believe this?
Okay, I could tell you that. Absolutely. And I'm sure your wife could too. She'd probably,
yes.
Is she a reader? Is your wife a reader?
She can be, but during the school year, it's very difficult for her to read. I mean, she's so busy.
She's a teacher.
She's a teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a high school teacher. And, you know, we have three of our own kids that are all in high school. And so it's just, my wife, we call her, in the summer, we say she's summer mommy because she reads and she's, you know, she gets to do a lot of stuff that she doesn't normally get to do during the school year. So, but reading is one of those things that she does more of the summer. So, yeah.
My husband is not a reader. He likes to read nonfiction is what he prefers to read, but, I'll get him to sit down with a chapter of mine and he'll give me his very open and honest and brutal commentary oftentimes, especially when like I write a kiss scene or something and he's just like, okay, you're going a little too far there, honey. You know, what is this? And I'm like, oh, well, really? It's that much? So he definitely puts me in my place most of the time. So we need that. We need that for sure. You know, as authors, we need someone to tell us a checks and balance kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's the beauty of Word Weavers, our group, and you know, getting some feedback. Sometimes you don't know if it's working, right? Because you're so close to it. So it's nice to get some feedback from people who are going to be honest but encouraging, you know. That's good.
Yeah, and I'm definitely going to give a big plug into Word Weavers. If you are an author, a writer, want to have someone look over your stuff and give you an honest and constructive criticism, that's something Word Weavers does extremely well. I would highly recommend you joining a Word Weavers group. Go ahead and pay the membership. It's worth it. It's worth it because... Yeah. You can't do this alone. You can't. No. I mean, if you try to, it could blow up in your face because you've not had any feedback on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something you want, you know?
No.
So I would highly recommend. So definitely look into it if you're interested in that. But Britt, thank you so much. I so enjoyed our talk today. And thank you for taking the time to sit down with me and talk over your awesome book. And I'm super excited. You've got me hoping that I will be a beta reader, because I will definitely.
Thank you.
I'm one of those that leaves lots of comments, and I'll tell you my reactions as I go along. And
oh, you do. You do. You do. You do a great job in our meetings too. So I believe you. You will. Yeah, yeah. If you've had beta readers, you know how, you don't want the beta readers to go, oh, it was good. You don't want that beta reader.
That's almost an insult. It's almost an insult. I'm like, you have nothing more to say than that. Then I failed. I absolutely failed. I didn't bring any emotion out in you at all. This is horrible.
Not even I hated it. Not even I hate it.
It at least gives you some inkling that it brought out something.
Good.
That happened to me one time, and I was just like,
good.
I'm not one of those. So,
no, you're not.
Well, good luck with everything. Be blessed in your journey. And I can't wait to see this chapter one you're promising, hopefully next month.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Britt, have a great day. And I will see you next month for sure.
That's right. We'll see you.
On your podcast, whenever you let me know when that's coming up.
Yeah, we'll set it up soon.
Yeah. So my I don't think we mentioned it, but the series that I'm wanting to talk about is Shadow and Bone. So you are a Shadow and Bone fan.
Yes.
Come on the podcast.
Awesome.
We'll be talking about it. All right. Thanks, Britt.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Sophia Talk Show. Come back for more fun interviews and talks about all things fantasy and fiction. Go to sophiasimpson.com, Sophia with an F, if you'd like any links that I mentioned in the show. And find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for all things Sophia Simpson books. My handle is Sophia Simpson Author. See you there.